Greetings, Christian friends. This is your teacher, C. Ernest Tatham, and we're delighted to be back together today for another study in Bible prophecy. Today brings us to lesson number 3 in our manual. And if you'll open it to lesson number 3, you'll find that the study concerns the future of Israel. Actually, we're thinking of the ultimate future of Israel. Now, before we get into today's lesson and look up a number of scriptures together, I want to call your attention to a number of charts that I've put in this manual that I've written on Bible prophecy, and I do trust that these charts will prove to be quite helpful. For iGate, of course, is a great assist to EarGate. If you'll just check the chart in connection with lesson number 3, I think that it may come a little clearer to you as we think together of Israel's past, Israel's present, and today, Israel's future. Now, the last time we were together, we were noticing that Israel has been set aside during this present age of the church. The reason for Israel's rejection by God, his temporary rejection of Israel, is because of Israel's consummating crime in the rejection and murder of her Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. God has, therefore, put his people on a low am I basis. And I might just add that low am I is an expression taken out of Hosea chapter 1 back in the Old Testament. It's a Hebrew combination which means not my people. So while Israel as a nation were God's people, since the cross, they are lo am I, not my people. They have been set aside because of their unbelief. Now, we believe that prophecy teaches that when this present work of God is concluded, I refer to his present work among the Gentiles and the outcalling of the Christian church, I say when this work has been consummated and the church has been removed from earth to heaven, we believe that the divine program calls for the reinstatement of the nation of Israel. We believe that there will be a remnant of Israel that will turn penitently to the Lord their God. They will confess their national sin and will be restored to Jehovah's favor. And then Israel will be on the main line of his purpose again. We'll see more about the interval between the rejection of Israel and her reinstatement. I say we'll see more about that in our next lesson when we look at the valley between the mountain peaks. Now, in connection with the ultimate future of Israel, you'll notice that we have used 3 words. These words are in quotation marks, for they're lifted out of the scriptures. Number 1, tribulation. Number 2, conversion. And number 3, restoration. I want you to get a firm grasp of these 3 significant words, because they indicate the 3 steps, or the 3, movements in connection with the ultimate future of this very significant people. You see, during this age, the nation of Israel has been on the sidetrack, as it were, back in the wings, while the church has become center stage. But by and by, when this church age is consummated and removed, then Israel is going to undergo a very, very severe baptism of disciplinary chastening from God. Now, this period is called often the tribulation. And you'll notice in the manual, in lesson number 3, that we've indicated quite a number of scriptures that are very significant and which must not be overlooked. Speaking of tribulation and the nation of Israel, I want to just read briefly several Old Testament passages, beginning with Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 26 to 31. Deuteronomy 4:26 reads like this: I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto ye go over unto Jordan for to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed, and the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. Then he goes on in verse 28 of that same chapter to describe something of their awful violation of the law of God during that period of scattering. And there ye shall serve gods, the works of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And then skipping down to verse 30, God says to that same people, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days. This refers, therefore, not to the age-long tribulation through which they have been passing as a people, but to that period of tribulation in the latter days. And God goes on to say, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shall be obedient unto his voice, he will not forsake thee. And so on. And then he goes on to describe their restoration. Notice verse 30, when thou art in tribulation, even in the latter days. In Isaiah 13 and verses 6, well, right through to verse, well, 9, 10, 11, 12, we have a very, very ominous description of Israel's travail in that coming day of unparalleled judgment. This is followed up in Isaiah chapter 17, and in chapter 17 and verse 11, God, in the midst of all this graphic description of their anguish, says, in the day thou shalt make thy plant to grow, and in the morning thou shalt make thy seed to flourish, but the harvest shall be a heap in the day of grief and of desperate sorrow. Notice that descriptive phrase, the day of grief and desperate sorrow. This is a forecast of the awful tribulation into which the nation will be plunged. In Jeremiah chapter 30, this period is described as the time of Jacob's trouble, and God says, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like unto it. Ezekiel chapter 20 adds details, as does Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. But then in Matthew's Gospel chapter 24, our Lord Jesus Christ outlines something of the fearsome procession of events as they will bear upon that nation in that coming day. In Matthew 24:21, Jesus said, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And so, Israel faces its greatest national bloodbath after the church has been taken home to heaven, and this will cause the remnant of Israel, a residue, a minority, to turn penitently and in self-judgment to the Lord their God. This brings us to the second word, conversion. Now, it's important, class, that we distinguish carefully and sharply between the Jewish masses and the godly remnant that will emerge. There will be a minority in the nation who will see through the hollow pretensions of the Antichrist, the false Messiah. They will resist his claims, and some of them will suffer martyrdom because of their faith in Christ. Now, it's important, therefore, I repeat, to check out these scriptures that are indicated clearly in the second section of our lesson today. Joel 2, Zechariah 12, 13, Jeremiah 16, and so on. You'll see them right here, and I want you to look them up and ponder them carefully. Now, if this is true, and a remnant of the nation is gripped by the Holy Spirit of God, and Israel experiences her true Day of Atonement, when this residue of godly Israelites that are seen in the book of the Revelation turn to the Lord their God, God promises to bring that remnant through. Some will be martyred. Martyred blood will flow again. But there will be a preserved remnant who will be brought through the storm, and like Joseph's brethren of old, will say, "We are verily guilty concerning our brother." They will put on the sackcloth and ashes. They will realize the heinousness of their crime when their fathers rejected the true Messiah. When they labeled him as an impostor and nailed him to a cross, this will break Israel's heart in that day. And then the nation will be restored, and it's only when Israel is restored to the divine favor and filled by the Holy Spirit of God that blessing will come to the whole earth. We've quoted under paragraph 3 in our lesson, from Romans chapter 11, I want to read it with you. If the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? An illustration is found in the experience of the prophet Jonah. When Jonah was thrown overboard into the raging waters of the sea, the shipload of heathen mariners was converted. But when Jonah was spewed out on dry land and had been restored to the Lord, the whole city of Nineveh got saved. You see, the casting away of the Jewish Jonah has resulted in the salvation coming to the Gentiles and the church being called out. But when Israel is restored to the Lord, it will mean worldwide blessing. And then our Lord Jesus Christ will return and his kingdom will be established and the will of God be done on earth even as it is in heaven. Well, look up these scriptures, check them out carefully, and then address yourself to examination number 3. And look over lesson number 4 in view of our next session. Remember the promise, consider what I say, and the Lord shall give thee understanding in all things.